Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
To places that only imagination can build. We visit the good, the bad, and the indifferent of life, and through our poetic journeys, we often find comfort, solace, truth, and celebration in our words. So we in the fair city of Washington, D.C., our motto as an organization is Long Live Words. So thank you again for joining us. It's going to be a fantastic evening, as it always has been. This is actually our 23rd episode. So in 2 weeks, or whenever we continue, it will be episode number 25. So again, I want to say thank you to all of you for joining us here on the Power of Poetics. What I'd like to do is to start off with a piece, and then we'll move into the program. There's a piece by Lydia Davis, and it's called The Fish. I thought it was a really funny poem, I think, hopefully. So I'd like to share it. She stands over a fish, thinking about certain irrevocable mistakes she had made today. Now the fish had been cooked, and she is alone with it. The fish is for her. There is no one else in the house. But she has had a troubling day. How can she eat this fish, cooling on a slab of marble? And yet the fish, too, motionless as it is, and dismantled from his bones, and fleeced of his silver skin, has never been so completely alone as it is right now. Violated in a final manner and regarded with a weary eye by this woman who had made the latest mistake of the day and done this to a fish. Maybe that was not as funny as I thought. But what I'd like to do is to bring some of our callers in, and they can help me discuss it. Again, this is the Power of Poetics, and my name is Michael Anthony Ingram. Caller, area code 860, are you there?
I am here, Michael, thank you. This is Valerie from Maine.
Hello, Valerie from Maine. I've got another caller, hold on 1 second. Caller, area code 703, first digit is 59. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Quite well. And who is this?
This is Tovar.
Tovar, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Right. Great. It's been quite a while since we've heard from you.
Yes, it's been
some time. Right. Well, it's good to hear your voice tonight. Welcome to the Power of Poetics. All right.
Thanks.
Valerie,
yes.
Question for you. How are you?
I am fine. How are you, Michael?
I'm in a great mood. In a good mood
good.
Tonight. And I want to thank you for that, because you inspired me to start writing again. And that's
good.
So I want the world to know that Valerie Beers from Maine, inspired me. Michael Anthony Ingram. That's right, to keep on writing. All right. So tonight we are celebrating again the recent National Poetry Month celebration of poetry, and a part of our organization has been a 30-day challenge, write 30 poems in 30 days, and tonight is part two of that challenge. So, who would like to begin? Anybody?
Well, I have a question because
yes.
I had just looked on the meetup board maybe about 30 minutes ago, and I saw this,
okay.
you know, this schedule for it, and I noticed that it was for the month of April. So I had posed the question if that schedule was, you know, to be followed, because it had for April 13th to write a poem that includes rhyming words. So
okay,
it,
so you
along with
yeah,
that
fine, perfect.
Just,
yeah, I mean, honestly, even though this is part two in terms of prompts 11 through 20, any poems that you have that you like to share are absolutely perfect. So whether it's the first week or the second week, it really doesn't matter. So if you've got a beautiful piece that you'd like to let us hear, please let us hear it.
Okay. Well, come back to me so that I can figure out what I want to share.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All I'd like you to do is just to give us the name of the prompt or to tell us what the prompt is, and we'll go from there. All right. Valerie. Wonderful.
All right. A prompt or a poem? Which would you like?
Well, let's see. Let's do the prompt first and then the poem.
One prompt I had was write a poem about coffee. If I can find that.
All right. You know, one
I
of our prompts is to write
a lot, a lot, a lot. What would you say? I'm sorry.
I was going to say one of the prompts that we offered was to write a poem about your feet. So now we're writing a poem about coffee. Same thing. Same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Continue. Continue.
So I wrote a lot of haikus in April.
All right.
And
you
wrote,
are the
haiku
queen.
I wrote a haiku about coffee.
Right.
All right. Do you want to hear this?
Yes, of course.
Okay. This is a haiku. 575. Drowning in coffee. Spit take times embarrassment. My shirt has wet spots. The end.
You know, Valerie, you know I always need to hear your poems twice. Because you are so deep.
And I thought of you when I was writing something new, but I'll read this again. This comes
all
from
right.
my poetry prompt that I put up. Write a poem. I did a haiku about coffee. So I wrote this haiku. 575. Drowning in coffee. Spit take. Times embarrassment. My shirt has wet spots. The end.
Drowning in coffee. Were you drowning,
drowning in coffee
at Starbucks?
You know, I'm more of a Dunkin' Donuts girl.
Dunkin' Donuts.
I am
a Krispy Kreme.
We
I'm
don't
a Krispy
have that.
Kreme kind
we don't
of guy.
Have that where I am.
Oh, really? Have you ever had Krispy Kreme? Krispy Kreme donuts?
Nope. I have never had those.
No.
Mr. Ray, have you ever had a Krispy Kreme donut? Mr. Ray. Hello?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have. I'm sorry. You
all right.
By my meetup name. I'm sorry. Yes, I have.
I just responded to your meetup question. Krispy Kreme donuts, Valerie, are the best donuts in America.
That is what I've heard. I've heard that.
And it's the truth.
If
you have a Krispy, you know what? I'm not going to say that I'm going to send you some Krispy Kreme donuts, but you'll never know what may show up in the mail. Your box of Krispy Kreme donuts.
I never know.
With me, you never know. All right, Miss Toure, you're on. Share a poem with us.
Okay. Okay, I'm kind of following suit of the other lady that's on the line. I have a poem that somebody wrote. They wrote it for me, and it's like they wrote it based upon my name. What's that to do with it? I'm just happy. Sorry.
That's all right. We're just glad you're on the line. All right.
Okay, here it is. Okay, I have
perfect.
So, and this is based upon my real name.
Okay.
So this is a little poem called Sloan. Seriously, I think you're a very beautiful lady. The thought of not hearing your voice can drive an individual crazy. Only the sight of you reminds me of a flower. Although I'm a strong person inside, you can drain me of all my mental power. Never let anyone tell you you're not the type to be a wife. The right man will find you and cherish every day of his life. So that was written. That was written like that.
Wow, very nice.
Beautiful. And that was written for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oane. Yeah.
Really?
Very
that
nice.
Was really, really nice. Wow. Wow. That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
Yes.
Wow. And your voice is so strong. I mean, I like that. You need to, why don't you come to some of our meetups?
I'm a little raspy right now, actually, so I'm glad I sound strong to you, though.
Yeah.
You sound great.
Yes. You sounded perfect, perfect. Very, very nice, very nice. Well, I'm going to share one, too, as we go around. Hopefully other people will call in. The number is 646-716-8754. We are the Power of Poetics, and my name is Michael Ingram, and we're here with our guests, Mr. Ray, and Valerie Beers from the great state of Maine, who is a faithful listener and an honorary member, not an honorary member, but a member of the D.C. Poetry Project. Now, this is not following one of the prompts. I think I just made this up, but I want to share it. I often don't share new stuff.
Okay.
It doesn't have a title.
Share.
Okay. All right. Elements of life falling through cracks of forgiveness, colors that both blind and delight, not accommodations. Can I start over, good people? Let me start over. All right, this is a rough draft. All right. Elements of life falling through cracks of forgiveness, colors that both blind and delight, love among the greenery. Greenery hides love, air breathing all around, fountain spewing ancient truths, yet no one listens, they only admire its beauty. Private conversations between strangers no more, love takes over, the park is open. The end.
Very nice.
Yeah, well, I like that.
What was okay? You know, on this line, my very favorite question is, what did you like about it? Don't just say you liked it. What did you like about
right?
it, and why did you find it very nice?
Well, I found it very nice because you were talking about colors, and then you were talking about greenery, and I thought you might do more color things. So I was listening very intently, but I liked the theme that you were on. It seemed like a color theme. I guess
well,
I have to
funny.
Hear it again.
Yeah, well, you know you won't. But,
I like
you know,
the
but,
same though, the description.
Oh, really?
The descriptive, yeah.
Well, one of the prompts, and I had an opportunity. Who has the prompts in front of them? Anyone?
I don't.
Maybe, okay, maybe someone in the listening audience has the prompts in front of them, and it's one about the desert speaks. No. I think I have it here. I can tell this is a crazy show tonight, but I'm having a lot of fun. All right. It says, in the stillness of desire, the leaves speak. And I kind of talk about greenery in a sense, so I'll share that a little bit later on. How does that sound?
Okay. That sounds great. Wow.
All right. Okay. Well, Valerie, you're back on again.
I'm back on. All right. Well, here's one that I definitely want to share. This was on April 6th, which was Easter. So my prompt was, it's silly. What if God was a rabbit? So I wrote haiku about this, about what if God was a rabbit. And someone actually wrote a poem about this, and it was really good. But this is my haiku. 575. Fluffy forgiveness. Long ears and eternal love. Pray and offer hay. The end.
Wow. I think I got that the first go around. What about you,
see,
Mr. Ray?
I'm like Michael, because I think I need to hear that a second time.
Okay.
All right. Absolutely.
Mr. Ray, you're joining the family now. You're part of the family. I mean, you just dive right in. I like that. All right.
Yeah.
It's just the three of us. So.
This is a haiku I wrote. What if God was a rabbit? Fluffy forgiveness, long ears, and eternal love. Pray and offer hay. The end.
Wow, what if God was a rabbit? I mean, that's quite an image to think about. Because you don't really think about, in my mind, rabbits causing harm. Well, maybe they cause harm to, like, grass and stuff. I don't know. But you don't really think about rabbits causing discord or strife or war, you know?
They could.
Now when, okay, yes, they could. But you don't often think about, you don't often think about it, Valerie. Do you think about rabbits causing harm and discord and strife?
No. You know, I was imagining when I wrote this, I was imagining a nice, fluffy, white rabbit.
Okay. You know, I always want to take it to an existential kind of place. But it's just the final line about offering hay.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about that line. How did that come about?
That's just me playing with words and playing with rhymes and things like that, and thinking about, well, what do? You pray, and what would you offer a rabbit? You'd offer, pellets. No. Hey. What rhymes with A? Pray. All right. So that, there's no deepness there.
No.
Hey, that was very nice. It really was. All right, Ms. Teray, it's your turn.
Okay. All right, digging in the stack again. I got another piece written by someone else, and it's called Up There. It may fit in with the rhyme theme. But I'll go ahead and share it. It's called Up There. You hear that it's lonely at the top, but no one ever tells you it can be lonely on the way up. You have to put down some things like habits, attitudes, maybe even friends. I'm learning that. People will know you by the things you do. It's the only real way to prove yourself. You know what kind of a person you are or what kind of a person you believe yourself to be, but the things you do will always precede you. I'm telling you, it's hard to re-earn a person's trust or credibility in your integrity, and it doesn't take half the effort to lose it. That's something else I've learned. I'm working on positive thinking, and why not? When you look forward to good things or better things, you set yourself up to get them. It's easier to appreciate things in life when you have a positive attitude, because you're not allowing yourself to be blinded by the less than perfect, and you're still able to focus in on the positive.
Wow.
Love it.
I know. That was nice. I'm going to tell you why. It was nice because it was uplifting. It was nice because I could see it. I could see letting those things go that sometimes you may feel are good for you but are actually not. And there was one line that you said about, and it wasn't like in the blink of an eye, but it was something similar to that, that things can change so quickly. Do you remember that line?
Was it about re-earning person's trust?
Yes, I think. Say that one again.
Okay. I'm telling you, it's hard to re-earn a person's trust or credibility in your integrity, and it doesn't take half the effort to lose it.
That's it. Wow. I mean, that to me just really struck me because it's so true.
Mm-hmm. I really love the message at the end. Very nice.
Mr. Ray, you're a great poet.
Yes, she is.
Well, thank you. This was written by, like I said, an old friend of mine, but obviously I liked it enough to hang on to it, so thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, you hung on to it.
On behalf of Michael Wright.
All right. Well, what we're going to do is take a short poetic break, but we'll be right back. Our breaks are never very long. So prepare. Here we go. We are back. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram, and this is The Power of Poetics, and we're sharing our works. Again, this is part two of the challenge, the 30-day poetry challenge, in terms of writing 30 poems in 30 days, and we're doing different iterations of that, some from Valerie's site and some from the DC Poetry Project site. What I'd like to do is recite a piece to kind of follow Ms. Teray's piece in terms of positivity, and some of you may have heard it before. It's called The Potentiality of Tomorrow. The potentiality of tomorrow wakes me, shakes me, quakes me, fools me, rules me, cools me, dazes me, phases me, amazes me, holds me, molds me, enfolds me, feels me, thrills me, chills me, teases me, pleases me, releases me, amuses me, deludes me, confuses me, sustains me, contains me, maintains me, mystifies me, petrifies me, electrifies me, yet saves me from the harsh core reality I call today. The end.
Wow. Tell me the title of that again.
It's called The Potentiality of Tomorrow.
I love it. I love the rhyme scheme. Wow.
You know, when I worked as a professor at Oregon State, and I'd go into the public school system and I would recite this piece and I'd share with the kids, I want you to imagine that it's the night before you're headed to Disney World or Disneyland or some theme park that you're so excited to make a trip to. There's that build-up, that build-up in terms of wanting to get there, that thing that's churning inside your stomach. So, again, that's called The Potentiality of Tomorrow. So, again, thank you for allowing me to share it.
It was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, appreciate it. Okay, Valerie.
I put that punch in it, yeah.
All right. Valerie, you're back on.
All right. let's see. I'm looking at my journal, and it says for April 12th, the poetry prompt was write a poem about color. So I wrote a haiku. Gee, imagine that. A haiku for a friend of mine who is in the Navy. So he was on a ship, and this is about a color. And it's a haiku, 575. This is for Jamie. Big blue, in your head, and under your feet as well. Can I go home now? Ian.
Valerie? You know you've got to read it again.
Okay. This is a haiku from a poetry prompt about writing
Valerie,
a poem about a color.
slow down just a little bit so that I can breathe in your words?
Breathe.
Yeah, breathe
okay.
in your words. It's so incredible.
This is about writing a poem about a color. That is the prompt. So this is for a friend of mine who is in the Navy on a ship. For Jamie. Big blue in your head. And under your feet as well. Can I go home now? The end.
I can relate to that. I'm an Air Force veteran, so
yeah.
I can instantly relate to
thank
that.
You. Thank you very much. First of all, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for your service.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wow. You know, I'm still pondering what it means. So the big blue, was it big blue?
Yes, big blue. That means water.
Big blue. And then the next
the
line.
Big blue.
Yes.
It's like an expression of like anxiety, possibly homesickness, like. You know, like ready to go, like ready to be, like back on land, could be an expression of that.
Yep,
wow,
and it's even less complicated than that. Big blue means the ocean. The ocean,
mm-hmm.
You're thinking about it.
I thought big blue meant the color of a person in the Navy's uniform.
You know, that could be another way. That could be another angle I take this at. But this, I was just thinking about, you know, my friend was on a ship and he's stuck in the ocean, on the ocean, in a ship, and he's like, ugh, he's been there for a long time. So,
yeah, big to me is usually a reference to a body of water. Yeah.
Mm.
Wow. Well, see, the thing is, that to me is just the power of poetry. In terms of being a person interpreting it differently based
right.
on your
yeah.
own experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and
what's so incredible.
It seemed like a reference to, like, you know, uniform. Yeah. That's another interpretation.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's why it's so powerful and beautiful. And again, to you,
thank
Mr.
You.
Ray, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. And Valerie,
oh,
hey,
yeah.
You know, you're the haiku queen. You know that, right? You are
yeah.
Miss Haiku. And
yeah.
Valerie, excuse me.
Yeah.
Mr. Ray, if you
yeah.
did not know, Valerie has a book out on Amazon, and it's called Details, dot, dot, dot. Details, dot, dot, dot.
You said
by
details?
Valerie. Excuse me?
Details, you said?
Details.
Yes.
Details.
Details. Oh, okay.
You're like
okay.
you're going out on
you
a detail.
Those...
Got
and Michael,
got
I want to tell you
yes.
something. Do you know what those three dots are?
Ellipses.
Ellipses, that's right. Very good. Oh, yes,
thank
I forgot you were a teacher.
That's
Yay.
Exactly right. Dot, dot, dot. So should I have said details, ellipses? Sounds better than dot, dot, dot.
Not everyone would know what you mean.
Valerie, you can tell I'm in a good mood. I'm in a good mood tonight. I
yes,
don't know what
I
why,
can tell.
But I'm in a good mood. I'm in a good mood. All right, Ms. Teray, you're back on with another piece.
Okay. I'm about to share a piece that I authored this time.
All right.
It's called The Inside. When will they see that it's not just about what is easily seen? What should come to mind sooner than later is the inside. Can you give me something wonderful to attribute to my inside? Make it tangible yet meaningful to my existence, my overall being, and later on, if you become upset with me, don't try to take it back. Give me pertinent insight that flows deeper and for longer than muddy water, because the outside was created on the inside of another, my mother. Are you experienced enough to attempt to tickle my inner organs, inject my nerves with energy of your emotion? Take me to places that will etch the sights I've seen beyond my eyes' iris and create more crevices upon my brain. Feed me natural groceries mentally and orally that will scrape the deepest pit of my stomach, prevent familiar indigestion, and further nurture my inside. Can you help me make my inside grow to push out the poisons that have lingered for quite some time, to clear up and free me from the inside to the out of a cell steaming eternal?
Wow, very nice. Right. I love the line kind of etch inside. Write it down and pay attention. Oh
wow, the imagery, I mean.
Yes.
Mr. Ray, share with us, what was your inspiration for that piece?
Let me see. Probably because I wrote that in 2006. And I remember, I think that's the same year that I was attending massage therapy school. So maybe just based off of, you know, some of my material that I had to study with just, you know, becoming familiar with, you know, the body and organs and, you know, different terms. Maybe that was, you know, the imagery that was in the background of my mind when I wrote this.
Now, when you're writing, usually I ask these questions of everyone. When you're writing, when do you write? Is it in the morning, in the evening? I mean, whenever you can. How does that process work for you?
It's usually been in the evening. And the way that I've been accustomed to writing is like, it's like piecing a puzzle together, because I used to write in bits and pieces. I would write maybe like 2/3 of a poem, and then I'd stop because I couldn't, you know, I didn't feel like I could conclude it right then. I would have to think about it some more and come back and you know, finish it at another time. The most recent poem that I wrote is the first poem that I've ever written all the way through without stopping and completing it. And that was just maybe like 2 months ago that I actually did that for the first time. But this one I just recited from 2006.
Now, will you be able to share with us tonight to the one that you wrote 2 months ago too?
Let me see. I'm going to pull it out. I'm trying to remember. I know I have to say it. Where it is.
So what about you, Valerie? And I asked you this question, I'm sure, when you are a guest on the show. In terms of writing, do you write in a piecemeal fashion as well, or it's pretty much you sit there and you complete it?
Poems that I have never finished. You know, they're in a book, and I've got maybe one or two lines, and I just put it away, and I say, oh, I'll come back to it. So maybe I can combine it with something, another little poetry scrap.
Well, I guess I'm the kind of person... Shoot, I'll start a poem, like I said, again in 2006, and I'm still working on it now, and I can't say that I didn't finish it because I didn't have the time. It was just that I didn't take the time. Or maybe it wasn't ready to be finished. Or maybe it's already finished, I don't know. But it's so many different ways to write, to deliver a message. I mean, wow. I don't know.
And I have plenty of pieces just like how both of you described. I have several pieces. Everything that I just shared, I pulled from out of my notebook, and that's because it was already like scattered about.
Wow.
A lot of pieces that are like either they are finished and I don't know it yet, or else, you know, I had the intention of, oh, I wanted to come back to that and, you know, put an ending on it. I have a lot of pieces like that.
You know, Valerie said to me, Michael, I want you to write a piece of poetry every day. Just write down some words. And I started doing that. And these are just some words, three different little pieces. They're not really, I don't know what you'd call them. The very first one is, what a difference a day makes to a night ravaged by an unforgiving sky. That's number one. The second one.
Very nice. Yes.
All is good. I can feel my mind cascading down my neck. It massages me and cleanses my throat. Yes, I can feel my mind cascading down my neck. All right.
Another good one.
All right, and the next one, the final one. A turtle sat on my chest. He sat there as if he... Okay, I'll try that again. A turtle. This sounds like something you would have written, Valerie. A turtle sat on my chest. He sat there as if he had been born there. He did not move. I did not care. A turtle sat on my chest. Now, I don't know why I wrote
that. I hope it wasn't a snapping turtle.
I don't know where that one came from. But it's your fault, Valerie, for insisting... write a poem every day.
It's my fault for being inspiring. Yes, I'm sorry.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right, good people. What we're going to do, again, is take another little... another little short poetic break. And we will be right back. My name is Michael Ingram. This is the Power of Poetics. If you'd like to call in, please do so. My computer screen just went dead, so I don't know our number by heart. But call in. Let's see. Hold on 1 second. That's why it's good to have a desktop computer and a laptop computer. Call in on number 646-716-8754. This show, we do everything from the sublime to the sublime. So welcome to the Power of Poetics, and now I believe it's Valerie's turn.
Okay, I am up.
You are up, yes, right.
All right, I was thinking about, I always write short, so I was thinking about this finger, I think. Speaking. 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 Singing and ringing. Wind is blowing and bringing me these sounds. The end.
I think you were breaking up some.
Yes. I could barely hear you too, Valerie.
Oh,
but you
no.
You were breaking up as well.
The line was breaking up as you were reading.
Right, because I would already ask you to read it again, but since you were breaking up, really read it again.
I will. This is it's about sounds. Let's see if you can hear me now. Okay. Trees are swaying and clicking. Pickers are tapping and seeking. Birds and chimes are singing and ringing. Wind is blowing, bringing me these sounds.
Mr. Ray, could you hear it?
It was still a little shaky. It was clearer than the first time, but it was still a little bit shaky.
Hello, Michael. I think I need to hang up now. My cell phone is not working correctly.
Well, now you're clear.
Oh, great.
Hell yeah, sounds great now. We'll try it again.
All right, third time's a charm, I guess.
It's a charm.
All right, this is a poem about sounds. And I was always thinking I always write short poems, so this is a little longer, I think. I think it's longer. Anyway, this is about sounds. Untitled. Trees are swaying and creaking. Woodpeckers are tapping and seeking. Birds and chimes are singing and ringing. Wind is blowing and bringing me these sounds. The end.
I heard
okay.
it that time.
Well, you hear that time, yeah.
Oh, good.
You know, just thinking about a woodpecker, I mean, so for me, you know, when you live in the big city, like this, well, I guess this is a kind of a big city, you don't really think about the sounds around you unless you truly pay attention or unless you go to a place like a park or some place where you may potentially find a woodpecker. I'm not sure whether any woodpeckers peck in Washington, D.C., but I like that. And I like the gist for the fact of just thinking about being from North Carolina and just sitting on our front porch and hearing woodpeckers peck as they pecked. Thank you. Brought back a lot of memories.
You're welcome.
Right. Ms. Touré, you're up again.
Okay. All right. I was able to find that poem. I wrote it I wrote it in November. This is called I Can't. No matter how much I say you're handsome or very beautiful, I can't make you embody my words. When I stare at you while you look onward or focus on your task, there's no way you can see what I see. So I think of you, remember those moments, and develop a summary while you dig deep. I imagine what's happening in your head, within your body, and sometimes I can feel you. Your insides tremble with energy. But no matter how deep our connection dives, the intensity, those sensations thrive. When it comes to him, I can't ever share my body with him in such a way to prove he's the one with whom I'm unified and don't want to deny. I can't tell him how hard it was to deny telling the lie that I loved him, even though I've already known better than to say such. Even though he embarrassed me, didn't give a fuck about his messes, made through explicit detrimental activity. I can't even hold the weight of that hurt and betrayal long enough to want to slap his face, that is, if and when I see him again, because it wanes, the same as my decision did, to teeter, continue along with his bullshit, then totter, suddenly cut him from my life. One day I feel something, but the next day, absolutely nothing. And when it comes to her, I can't begin to plan and figure how I can compliment a sister without the eventual air of belittlement or competition blowing in my direction. No one embodies perfection, and although we may strive, there will only be so much we can do before there's nothing more. Nothing more to try, improve, present, capture, conceal, or reveal to a blind, a public, nor a third eye. I can't make her believe in the natural radiance she and I were born with, especially when she doesn't even see it. Nowhere in the vicinity, unrecognized. What you've never had cannot be considered missing. No place for goodbye kissing. I can't can't spell out how to hide and seek what is still present. The only thing to do is tell her, welcome home. And she looks down and around to see she's beyond the threshold already.
Wow, nice. Very nice.
You a bad girl, Mr. Ray. That is deep. I mean, I guess, you know, as I think about it, as I imagine you sitting there writing that, writing it all the way through, to me it was like a flushing of anger and despair and sadness out of your system and then reclaiming who you are. You know, again, that's my interpretation.
I agree.
Why do you agree, Valerie?
I felt lots of emotions in different stanzas. She was, she was talking about things that he did, and, you know, I heard the anger there, and then I heard the sort of, I heard resignation, to sort of either near the end or sort of. It was very, wow.
Well, I was definitely venting with that, yeah.
And I guess for me, being able to vent, being able to express yourself, and I make this statement every week, being able to scream through metaphor is so, so empowering. It's empowering.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're screaming through metaphor, getting it out of your system, then hopefully you're not doing anything that's potentially more detrimental to your system. You know, whether you write it down, whether you share it with anyone, I mean, that's not the most important thing. No, but just being able to just purge yourself of that stuff, that gunk that can potentially cause you angst or a worry. I mean, it was beautiful. Very raw. But beautiful. Wow.
Very
nice. You know, it's funny.
I love it.
It's only the three of us, but we only have about 12 or 13 minutes left. And so it means to me that you don't need 100 people to share your heart and your spirit and your soul and the poetry that you've developed and from a creative perspective with others. And I want to thank you both for being here. Honestly, I do. So it really touches me. All right.
Thank you, Michael. I think it may be my turn.
Let's see what I've got here. Okay, let's see. I was going to read the one about the leaves and the greenery. All right, I'll try that one. It's still very, very rough. I only started writing it an hour ago. All right.
Okay.
This was a prompt. I can't remember the date, but it's, Write a poem based on the following lines, or include the following lines in the poem. In the stillness of desire, the leaves speak. Okay, so that's the prompt, and you should include those words. Here's the poem. In the stillness of desire, the leaves speak softly to each other, gently swaying above the heights of the trees. The trees being their parents, each thinking back to childhood memories of their love, how they learned how to be green, how they learned how to break through the branches that serve as cocoons of their nurturing, how they learned how to stand strong during a wintry, windy day or an evening of a blustery storm. In the stillness of desire, the leaves speak. And they do something else. And
something else happens.
In the stillness of desire, the leaves speak of their life together. The end.
I wish you wouldn't have interrupted it. That was flowing so nicely.
That was. But can I talk about
why,
my inspiration?
Nice standalone piece. That's very nice.
Well, can I
talk
about my inspiration? Can I talk about my inspiration?
Sure.
To me, when I thought about In the Stillness of Desire, the leaves speak, I thought about them when I talked about their childhood memories, you know, being, I don't know what you call them, little buds on the side of a branch, but learning how to stand up, you know, learning how to spread their wings, learning how to be strong in the face of, quote, adversity, which could be the wind blowing back and forth, learning how to be green, learning how to change colors, learning how to be brown or orange or whatever color, learning those things, and maybe learning those things from their parents, who are the trees.
Mm-hmm.
So they speak back and forth in loving tones, muted voices, because they know that they'll always be together.
Wow.
Love it. It reminds me of a little tin book I have.
You got a book on that?
No. It's a book that I've read a lot to my 8-year-old about chameleons. You know, and you reminded me of that, the changing color, the how they learn. Wow, very nice.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, well, let's keep on rolling then. Who's next? I think it's you, Valerie.
Was it me? Uh-oh, I've got to find something. Oh, no.
Okay.
All right.
I'm looking around, too.
If you want, I can go next if you're not ready.
Well,
Mr. Ray, you're part of the family now. You found one, Valerie?
I have a poem. I do. I have one.
Okay.
It's on my phone.
Well, let Mr. Ray go, and then we'll come back to you.
Yes, please.
Did you
Thank
find
you.
It? Okay. Yes. All right, Mr. Ray, you're on.
Okay, I have one ready. Okay, this one is called Strangers Reaching Out. Okay. Tonight is special because I've been drawn to entertain you within a crowd I know nothing about. And as a stranger reaching out, it's possible that you won't accept me. Be very quick to reject me and what I have to say. But I'll take a chance and say it anyway. Because what the hell? You don't know me, and I don't know you. So there's not too much for me to lose by taking time out to speak on the truth and possibly touch and enlighten you. Everybody can learn something new every day when we don't let ignorance stand in the way of being open-minded, even towards a stranger. If you continue to seek knowledge, you're sure to find it. Don't always make three laughs. Think outside the box, but don't ride in circles before arriving at the spot. Know there are other ways besides yours. Recognize that sometimes less is more. Sometimes for your mind to expand to a stranger, you should extend a hand, make a little go a long way, so that longer they can stay and listen to a different peace of mind. We'll get to know each other in due time. A stranger and I become acquainted so well, and emotions evolve that surprise. So that actually fits the way that rhymes. Thing.
Again, a very nice positive message. I love it.
I know.
There was a couple lines in there that had very nice rhyming words.
Wow, Mr. Ray, you're really, really very creative. You're a great boy. Do you have a book out? Do you have a book?
No, not as of yet. I don't. But I have enough material to publish a book, but no, I don't have one yet.
All right.
Do it.
Yes, I really like your work. I like the positive messages, and I also like the fact that you're able to, like I said, again, this whole flushing thing of going from potentially negative or things that are, you know, not valuable to you to something where you can see a light, you know, that out of darkness there comes this light. I really like that. I really do. I really like that. And like you said, you know, when you're standing up in front of a crowd, they don't know you. You don't know them.
Right.
But you're going to share your truth anyway, you know. And that, to me, is the most important thing, just being able to speak your truth, whether people believe it or not, whether they claim it or not or accept it, just share and speak your truth. That's what's, for me, the most important thing. Wow, I really like that. Okay, Valerie, you're on.
I am on, okay. This is not titled, and I'm still working on this, I think. I don't know. It might be finished. It's one of those things where we don't know if something's finished or it might be. So it's untitled. She is nobody's goddess. She has childbirth scar, safe family car. She has disapproving looks and always in journals and books. She is poet. Protector of words, publisher, promoter. She helps me find posterity, places that publish. The Val 2000 don't need no Vishnu. She is the goddess of good things. The end.
Talk about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She
tell you
is
about
poet.
That one?
Yes, she is poet.
That is me. This poem is about me.
I kind of picked that up.
I felt like
tell us more.
As soon as she said that she is poet, I felt like she was talking about herself.
Right. That's right. Why did you write that piece, Valerie? What were you thinking? What were you going through with that moment or that time where you wanted to claim that you are a poet?
This is actually two pieces of poetry put together. You and I have talked about this before. I had written a poem about being the goddess of good things for a poet from India who had sent me a very angry poem. And I was hesitant about posting it until I thought, well, wait a minute, this is a real emotion. He really feels angry about something, so I want to write something for him.
I know when you said the goddess Vishnu, I that's what I thought you were saying, Vishnu. So I was correct in my mind thinking that's the goddess. Wow, Valerie.
Well,
that's nice.
The goddess is actually married to Vishnu. I looked it up, but I don't know what her name is. And I probably couldn't pronounce it right now if I did have it in front of me. But I'm trying to, you know, it's like, I don't need no Vishnu. Eh. That's all.
Well, Vishnu is not a goddess. I don't know. But everybody, I want to thank you. We've only got about 90 seconds left. I'd like to thank our two guests, Valerie Beers and Ms. Teray, for sharing their fantastic works with us this week on The Power of Poetics. I want to say good night to both of you. And as we say in the DC Poetry Project, let poetry ring. Take care. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good
night.
Good night. Good night. All right.
Mm-hmm.